In this episode of the Healthy as a Mother podcast, I interview my dear friend and colleague, Dr. Ellie Michelle, all about hypothalamic amenorrhea, the medical fancy term for not getting your period, the delicate balance between exercise and movement and nourishment, how to connect with your feminine, and so many other juicy topics. She shared her own story of her journey through disordered eating and how it's possible to truly heal, whether you want balanced hormones or a baby sooner someday. Let's dive right in. Welcome to Healthy as a Mother, the podcast for becoming and being a mother, with your co-hosts, Dr. Leah Gordon and Dr. Morgan McDermott, two naturopathic doctors who get it.
Each week, we teach you how to be the healthiest mother you can be, from fertility and preconception to pregnancy and birth prep, through postpartum and throughout motherhood, empowering you with the natural health guidance and education you're not getting elsewhere, so you can confidently navigate the broken system at large.
The real, the raw, the untalked about. And remember, this information is not intended to diagnose, treat, or manage any disease. Always consult with your doctor before making any changes. Did you know proper hydration and mineral balance are key for hormone health, fertility, and preparing for pregnancy? That's why Dr. Morgan and I love Relight from Redmond, the real salt people, a USA-made electrolyte powder made with unrefined sea salt and 60-plus trace minerals, plus bioavailable potassium, calcium, and two forms of magnesium. And yep, they taste amazing. I'm a lemon-lime girl, but Dr. Morgan's all about that strawberry lemonade. Head to redmond.life and use code HEALTHYMOTHER for 15% off. Again, head to redmond.life and use code HEALTHYMOTHER. Stay hydrated, ladies. Dr. Ellie Michelle is a licensed naturopathic doctor who is redefining what true health means for women. She helps women optimize their metabolism, build strong, hormonally sound bodies, and feel radiant from the inside out. Her unique methodology centers on intelligent fueling, training and recovery, nervous system care, and deepening connection to our feminine essence. Dr. Ellie believes that a woman's vitality reflects the relationship she has with her body, heart, and soul. In her one-on-one practice and her signature mentorship program, she supports women in creating health on every level, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. With her naturopathic medical training in root cause and preventative medicine, Dr. Ellie is passionate about uncovering the underlying reasons for a woman's symptoms and health issues. She utilizes comprehensive lab work and functional testing to inform a highly individualized approach and helps women restore balance naturally and sustainably through lifestyle, nutrition, and strategic supplementation. In her Fueled and Feminine mentorship, Dr. Ellie teaches her signature women's health curriculum, diving deep on metabolism, hormones, fitness, feminine sensuality, and mindset. The mentorship is a personalized and intimate coaching container for women who value their fitness, hormonal health, and femininity and want to embody all three. To learn more, follow Dr. Ellie on Instagram at Dr. Ellie Michelle with a dot, or visit drelliemichelle.com. All right, Dr. Ellie, thank you so much for being here. I can't wait to have this conversation with you.
Thanks for having me, Leah. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah. So why don't we just hop in before we get started talking about the conversation and just share a little bit about your story, how you became a naturopathic doctor, and why you're interested in the things that you're interested in.
Yes.
I know that's a big ask. Okay. summarize it in three sentences.
No, totally. I'll do my best. So the, very long story short, I had very severe anorexia as a teenager. So I developed it when I was about 14. So high school was a very dark, difficult time for me. And I was in very much in a hole. And I kind of had my, awakening. And when I look back, it was like my first kind of like spiritual experience when I was like at rock bottom. And I really had to look at like, is this how I want to live my life? And is this what I'm like, is this what I'm going to use my time on this earth for? And I felt this voice, God, the universe, whatever you want to call it, that was like, no, you're meant for so much more. And so at that point I was like, okay. And I found this inner motivation to climb out of the hole I was in and really heal myself. And up until that point, I had very much been exposed to like the conventional approach for eating disorders, which was kind of like put you on the birth control pill to give you a false period and put you on anti-anxiety, antidepressant medication. And I was always very against that. I didn't know what naturopathic medicine was at the time, but I was just like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, why would I do these things? It's obviously not going to address why I'm dealing with life and, my emotions that I didn't have the tools to deal with at the time, like why I was addressing it in that way. And so I felt very drawn to like a deeper type of healing for myself, mm-hmm. and learning about nutrition and how to use food to restore my health, and understanding the mind-body connection and, you know, how intricately connected they are. And I was drawn to like yoga and dance and like these like forms of movement that were very medicinal for me, because it helped me to like restore or just really respect my body and feel excited to nourish it again, because I wanted to be able to move my body in this way. And I was looking at the girls around me and like admiring girls that were really good dancers who had been doing it way longer than me. And I was seeing like, oh, they actually fuel themselves. Like they are nourishing themselves to be able to mm-hmm. perform in this way. So it was like, kind of like, you know, lighting something up in me that like, there's something to this. Like food helps you do the things that you love to do and like perform in these beautiful forms of movement that I was really drawn to. So anyway, that was kind of like my introduction into the world of alternative medicine, alternative healing. I did eventually discover around that time, I like saw my first naturopathic doctor, and was just really kind of like became a sponge and was wanted to soak up everything I could about health and the body and healing. So fast forward, once I moved out, graduated high school, went to college, and I was like stabilized. So my eating disorder was no longer like an active eating disorder, though I was still quite underweight, hadn't restored a period yet, but I was eating and I wasn't like actively losing weight anymore. And I was, you know, like more motivated to eat. And so when I got to college, I was just like, I want to learn everything I can about the body. And so, and then that kind of led me to thinking, well, what do I want to do with this? You know, you're in college, everyone's like thinking about their futures and their careers and what do they want to go into? And I had never, like, I was always a very artistic person growing up. I was into dance. I played classical piano. I liked theater. Like, I was not a sciencey person at all. But after what I'd been through, I was just really excited to understand the body and really what the body needs to be healthy. And so, cause I was trying to like do that for myself.
Yeah.
So, I kind of like the whole field of naturopathic medicine sort of like popped up again for the second time. I'd sort of had an experience with it when I was a teenager, and then it kind of like showed back up when I was a freshman in college, and I was just kind of like, that's it. Like, this is what I'm supposed to do. I get to combine everything that I love, nutrition, movement, mind, body, medicine, psychology, like, you know, all these different things, like everything that health requires. And so that was just kind of it for me. So at that point, I pretty much knew that was what I wanted to do. And it just all made sense. And so that's what I was focused on in college. Fast forward, you know, several years later, when I actually went to Bastyr, where I met you, and I still had not restored my period. So I'm in my early 20s, still had not restored my period. And I kind of like knew that it was a problem. I knew it wasn't good, but I wasn't that concerned about it. But there was this like part of me, I remember going into like when I was about to start naturopathic medical school, and I was like super excited. Couldn't wait to learn. I was like, I'm going to be a naturopathic doctor, and I'm going to be this, you know, like inspiration for people for health. But I was like, there's something that feels kind of off to me, because like I know as a woman I should be menstruating, but I'm not. So like that, there was a disconnect for me. I felt a little bit like it just didn't feel right. And yeah. So I didn't like that, but I was kind of like, whatever, you know. And then we started school, and in the first year we started learning, and I remember like it was one of our lectures. About, I don't remember what class it was, but we were learning about the importance of hormones and how, like, for women especially, our estrogen, how important it is for our bone health. And I already knew at this point that I had osteopenia, because when I had my eating disorder, I had to get a DEXA scan, and it did show osteopenia. So I already knew that I had that. And then it was like, yeah, you know,
and just for people who don't know, osteopenia is right before osteoporosis, where your bones are breaking yeah. down, but it's just like not as severe.
It's like pre-osteoporosis.
Yeah.
So you're already, your bone density is already at like higher risk, or you're at higher risk for osteoporosis. So I was learning about that and how protective it is of our cardiovascular health, how protective it is of our brain health. And I was like, shit, you know, I was like, this is not good. I really need to figure this out because my aging process is going to look really scary if I don't solve this now. So that, at that point, I got really, really motivated to do whatever I could. And so I started researching everything I could about, like, you know, bone health and how to get your menstrual cycle back. And I just kind of was like, I knew I had to gain weight. Like, I knew I had to gain mass at that point because I knew one of the biggest reasons why I wasn't menstruating was because I was still really thin. And I was basically just skin and bone. Like, I didn't have any like muscle mass on me. And so I sought out a mentor who was in our, who went to school with us. And I was like, will you teach me how to lift? I want to build muscle. And she was kind of like, okay. So that was sort of like my introduction to, I mean, she taught me everything about the foundations for how to strength train, and everything just kind of took off from there. Like, I really became passionate about strength training. That became like literal medicine for me because of that. And then really learning how to feel myself even better. I mean, I thought I was eating healthy, like when we went to naturopathic medical school, but I learned so much through strength training about what I actually needed to really feel myself so that I could actually build that mass, because I learned that the strength training, like, that's only a piece of it. It's only a stimulus, but you can't actually build the muscle if you don't have, your body doesn't have the resources to create that. And so, so that was really, really transformational for me. And that experience kind of, I kept on like building upon that as we were in naturopathic medical school. So it was very much like a process. It didn't just like boom happen. It was like every year I like got healthier and healthier and healthier and healthier. And then it kept going even after we graduated. And so thankfully, because of that, I was able to restore my period. So that was great. And it's been very like completely normal and regular ever since it came back. So I'm very, very thankful for that. I'm very proud of that. But yeah, I knew this was not going to be a short. I did my best to give a short.
No, that was great. I feel like that's great. You had a long story. And the fact that I feel like you summarized that beautifully. That was great.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, that's kind of like in a nutshell, sort of how I personally got into, you know, the type of work that I'm doing now. So I guess I'll finish up, I guess, with that. That's how I sort of ended up really focusing on women's health and women's wellness. Because I see so often, like, you know, not most women fortunately don't have as extreme of a story as I had, but I see like some degree of that going on in so many women. You know, you don't have to develop a full blown eating disorder, but, you know, kind of like dysfunctional eating habits and dysfunctional relationships with exercise, rather than really using it to like build ourselves up and like build our health. Which is what I'm so passionate about now. There's so much like funky stuff that we see, and we have so much exposure to like all these, you know, not really supportive messages all over the place. And we've all been exposed to that kind of messaging. So that's sort of what led me to really focus on women's metabolism, hormones, and like, what does it really mean to be a healthy woman? Because we all have this idea, like I had when I was in my, you know, early 20s, mid 20s, I thought that health was something that it's not actually.
Yeah.
And I completely like redefined what health really means for me and what it looks like for me. And when I did that, like, that's when I actually became healthy. You know, like, I look so different.
Can you share kind of what your mindset was about health then and then what it is now, like, and how that's shifted? Because I'm interested.
Yeah. Well, that's like a whole nother thing. So when I was up until I think I would, when I, about around the time I started lifting weights and strength training, I was vegetarian. So I thought that health meant like eat as many vegetables as possible, you know, limited meat, or I wasn't even eating meat at all. So now I'm the opposite of that. I think meat is very important for having a healthy body, healthy hormones, healthy metabolism. It's absolutely essential. And vegetables obviously play a role, but I don't think we need to try to stuff ourselves with vegetables, which is what I did. I was like, the more vegetables, the better.
Yeah.
I do think that now. And before, you know, I didn't really, before I started strength training, I really wasn't doing that at all. I just thought like running, like I thought we had to run to be healthy. I wasn't really doing anything to support my muscle mass. Mm-hmm. I was very thin. I think on some level I knew that wasn't healthy because I wasn't having my period, but you know, there was also this part of me that was kind of in denial and thought, oh, well, like I eat healthy and I exercise and, you know, a lot of people look at someone who's thin and be like, oh, they're really fit, but can be really thin and not be fit. Just because someone has a thin body does not automatically mean they're fit. A lot of times they're really not, you know, especially if they're not even, if they're not hormonally healthy. My opinion is that for a woman to be fit, that includes her health. Like I think of health and fitness, they go together. You can't be fit if you don't actually have health with it.
I love that. That's so cool. So speaking of that, so you shared your story about how you lost your period because of your eating disorder. And then, you know, you did all of this stuff to get it back. Can you speak to our audience about what that is, what happened to you, why you lost your period? And then what it's called? And then also why having your period is important. And then we'll kind of get into later. I know you shared about some of the things that you did, but what are some of the things that you recommend other women doing if they're having that experience of losing their period?
Yeah. Okay. So I think I'll start off by saying for a while, I think I tried to do everything to get my period back, except the thing that actually was going to help me get it back. You know, like I was like, I'll take Vitex, you know, I'll take maca, which for anyone who doesn't know, those are like kind of classic women's health hormone balancing herbs. You know, I would take like, I tried to take so many different supplements to help. I actually, for a while, did try just like eating more, but in my mind, eating more, like A, it still wasn't enough and it wasn't enough of the right types of foods. You know, you can't just eat more of the same things that you're already eating if it's not the types of foods that your body is really missing. So like I was really missing meat, for example, for a long time because I had been vegetarian for years and years. So I was super protein deficient. And I think I was also, I mean, I was very, like, I was definitely under eating in general. So total calories was still way too low. Like I said, I focused way too much on vegetables, which doesn't really give the body energy. Mm-hmm. For a long time, I was kind of trying these things that weren't what I would suggest to someone now. Yeah. But, remind me what was the question?
Yeah. So basically, let's say it's okay. I gave you a lot. That wasn't fair. Like, let's answer 10 questions at once. So if a woman, let's say she's trying to have healthy hormones, or maybe she's thinking about having a kid soon, or maybe she's trying to conceive, or maybe it's postpartum, whatever season she's in, no, not postpartum, because that could be other things, like not a breastfeeding woman, but she is not getting her period. Maybe she does have a history of under eating or over exercise. Mm-hmm. What is that called? Like hypothalamic amenorrhea is the thing, HA. And if a woman comes to you like that, who has lost her period, why is that a problem? Like what's going on in the body that is happening? Yeah. Because clearly that's not good, right?
Absolutely. It's not good at all. Like I kind of touched on earlier, it's definitely having a menstrual period. Obviously it's important for reproductive reasons. Like if you want to have a baby, you need to be menstruating, and it's not even the period, it's ovulation, which I don't know how deep you want to get into that, but you know, we only menstruate if we ovulate before that. And so for fertility reasons, like you have to be ovulating for that to even have a chance of that. But it's important for so many other things, regardless of whether you want to have a baby or not. It's so important for protecting our long-term health. So like I said, it's protects to make that estrogen, and we have to be making enough estrogen in order to ovulate. So for ovulation to happen, there has to be enough estrogen on board for that to happen. And that estrogen is so important for protecting our bones, protecting our brain health, protecting our cardiovascular health. A lot of risks, the risk for those diseases increases after menopause when our estrogen drops, right? Because our ovaries aren't producing as much. And that's normal at that age, but it just kind of goes to show how like our risk for those conditions increases when we don't have that protection from estrogen. So when we're young, one of the best things we can do is to make sure we're making optimal amounts of estrogen so that we have that protection to kind of like buffer us. So like we've had all those years where we've had it to protect us, so we're not increasing our risk even more than it already would, then, you know, our risk would increase after menopause regardless. So it's really protective for longevity reasons, but also just for like day to day, how you feel like even now, not just for in the future, which it's hard to think about that when you're really young, you know, you're not even thinking about when you're in your 60s, 70s, but it really, really affects your mental health. So that was one thing I even noticed in myself. Like I struggled way more with mood stuff when I wasn't having a period. I had way more like depression, anxiety, just emotional like dysregulation versus now, like with healthy hormone levels, you just feel much more like stable mentally. Mm-hmm. And just feeling, you know, this is a little bit like more, I guess, on the, I guess, spiritual side of things, but I think just feeling more like a woman. I remember when I was not menstruating, I still, you know, you're in like a state of, I don't know, however you want to look at it, either menopause or like childlike state, because your hormones are just like non-existent. Right. And so when you have them, you just feel more womanly. And that's it's a nice feeling, you know,
I love that.
It's a nice feeling. So I think, it's important for just like your day to day, how you feel.
Yeah.
Mentally and emotionally. It's important for a lot of other things too, though. Like, I mean, even just for body composition purposes, for building muscle, like estrogen plays a role in that. Estrogen plays a role in insulin sensitivity. Right. So for metabolism, there's a lot of things that are beneficial for that too. Same thing, like when estrogen drops in menopause, women are more prone to, you know, their fat storage changes. They tend to store fat more in their midsection because estrogen helps us with building muscle. So yeah, it does so many things.
That's so great. Yeah. And so oftentimes we lose our periods as women if we are undernourished or we don't have enough calories for the movement or the exercise that we are doing, right? It's like there's a caloric deficit is what we would call that. Yes. And so sometimes it's because women are under eating, like in an eating disorder, like you said, or sometimes like a woman might be like, I eat normal, like I eat meals, but they're exercising or moving too much. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to that? And where would you say to a woman who's maybe lost her period, but she's stressed, which also plays a role in this, but exercise is the thing that she uses to help her stress. And, you know, it's kind of this perpetual cycle. Like, what would you say if that was the case?
Yeah, totally. Well, so I think of it as hypothalamic amenorrhea. That is like the medical term for when the menstrual cycle just stops, because your brain shuts that process off, because it starts in your hypothalamus. That's the area of your brain that senses like energy availability, and it's scanning the environment constantly for safety to determine whether, you know, there are any threats. And energy unavailability, so if there's insufficient energy available, that your brain will sense that as a threat to survival. It is not safe for reproduction. And so that's why it will stop the signal that tells your ovaries to produce estrogen. And so the way I think about it is, it's basically there's a relative energy deficiency. So the amount of energy available relative to the amount of energy that's being expended, there's a mismatch there.
Yeah.
So that could be either there's insufficient calories coming in, so insufficient energy to match the output or the exercise, the energy expenditure, or it could be the energy expenditure is just so high, even if energy coming in is like, okay, that there's so much energy going out. But more often than not, I find it's kind of a combination of the two. It's like there's probably, because in this type of woman, there's usually a very, very high activity level, but then, right, not nearly enough energy coming in to support that activity level. And this is a tough one, because one of my messages now, I'm still a huge proponent of strength training. I'm a huge proponent of movement and just like having an active lifestyle, because it's like, that's part of health. We're not supposed to sit all day. We're supposed to be active. And I also feel like for both men and women, but since you and I work mostly with women, I'll just speak to women. But for us women, like feeling really connected to our bodies is so important, just for us to feel good. Like I think that being in our bodies is really important for us. And movement is so like conducive for that. Like we have to feel connected to our body, we have to move. So I don't really like to discourage people from being active and moving, but it's just that, especially if you're a woman that enjoys that and values that and wants to have an active lifestyle, then you do have to take your fueling seriously. Like if you don't want it to be, you know, counterproductive, all the movement that you're doing, if you want that to be something that actually makes you healthier instead of depleting, your fueling has to be like really a high priority. You have to take that seriously, and you have to make sure that you're taking in enough energy to support everything that you're doing, and a lot more than that, because remember, your body uses that energy for way more things than just your exercise. Like it actually doesn't use as much energy towards your exercise as you think. Like so much more of that is for just keeping your like basic metabolic functions going, and you're, you know, making hormones and like all the different things that your body is doing all the time that you don't even have to think about. But we underestimate how much energy that requires.
Yeah. So do you, when you work with clients, do you find yourself suggesting to dial back exercise ever, or do you kind of let people stay at whatever their exercise is and just increase the nourishment piece?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It really depends on the woman, I think. Because every woman's like in slightly, you know, her situation's slightly different. But most of the time, I mean, if she comes to me and she tells me everything she's doing for exercise and it's like, you know, like she literally never takes any days off and you can tell that she has a lot of anxiety about resting and she just kind of has to constantly be doing something, then I will encourage her and kind of gently nudge her to start taking steps to like back off. I typically won't have them be like, some people will be like, just stop everything, like stop all exercise. I haven't found that to work very well. and like I said before, like I don't really think that's the best approach either, because it's like, I don't really want anyone to just not move ever.
Yeah.
Especially if we want them to increase their intake, like if I want them eating more. Usually women will feel a little like they'll have an easier time with that if they're also still exercising and being active. Yeah. If she's obviously doing like way too much and it's just like, yeah. And I want her to start having a healthier relationship with resting also. So then I will work with her on trying to find something that feels like more reasonable. While increasing her calories and seeing, you know, obviously always do like a thorough intake of what she's eating. And then we'll try to increase, like make sure she's focusing more on the foods that she's really lacking. So for example, a lot of women have kind of subscribed to the low carb movement that has become quite big in recent years. And I understand that because there's just a lot of that kind of messaging. So for active women though, like carbohydrates are the primary energy source. So even if you're eating like a ton of protein and a ton of fat and you're exercising a lot, your body could still sense low energy availability because your carbs are so low. And that's really how your brain, your hypothalamus is going to sense that energy is available. Yeah. And so, carbs, especially like, you know, if she's not eating enough of those, then I'll definitely have her focus on that, you know, while trying to create more of like a balanced relationship with exercise. So it's usually kind of a combination of the two.
Yeah. And so what do you do with someone who is really afraid to gain weight? Like if you tell someone, you know, maybe they're underweight, or even if they seem healthy, but like they're really shredded or really ripped, you know, because they work out all the time. Yes. Which I feel like when you're really shredded, it's like
that's really big in like the kind of bodybuilding figure background, where they like maybe they're like strength training all the time and they understand how important protein is, right? Yep. But they're way too lean. Like their body fat percent is way, way, way too low. And they have very disordered relationships still with food, because a lot of them have been tracking obsessively, like every gram of everything. Mm-hmm. And they're like terrified to not do that. And they're like, you know, it's not.
Healthy. Yeah. Like what needs to shift in them? What internal dialogue needs to shift, and or what healing needs to happen for them in your experience? I'm sure it's different slightly for every person, but what kind of shift needs to happen? Because I think for some people, they might be like, yeah, I know I need to eat more, but if I eat more, I'm going to gain weight. Or, you know, I've had patients in the past who are like, well, I can't fit into my jeans. And I'm like, what if we buy a size up? You know, you don't have to wear those size jeans for the rest of your life and then feel really bad about yourself when you can't fit in them. I also don't like when my jeans are too tight, so I just buy bigger jeans, you know? Like what has to shift for women in your experience?
Again, I think it really does depend on the individual, like what kind of shift they need. For everyone, it's a little bit different, but I will say, I think for specifically for the woman, like if she's not having a period and she's afraid to gain weight, the thing that I'll always remind them, which I reminded myself at one point, was like, if you're not having a period, that's a huge red flag from your body. Like that's not just a little thing. That's like literally like alarm sounds. Your body is like ringing the alarm bell. And so it's like, you're obviously not healthy at that point. So your body will have a period when it's like a regular period, when it's happy and it's content, like your hormone. I mean, your hormones are going to function much more healthily when your body's in a place where it like, it likes to be there and it feels good there and your brain senses safety. And so if that's not the case, like when you're at a weight that your body is so unhappy at that it's going to shut down your reproductive system, like you have to ask yourself, do you really want to stay here? If your body's that unhappy here, are you really going to just ignore what your body's telling you? And I mean, I've never seen a woman that's just like even if they're scared of it, they kind of have to admit like, yeah, that's true. Like I shouldn't be here if my body is really that unhealthy. Because a lot of times, even though that type of woman, like she might feel more comfortable in that thinner body or that lower weight, there's still a part of her that like values her health.
Yeah.
You know? And so most women will see eventually, it might take them time. Like they might not get there immediately, but in time they'll start to be like, okay, like health is more important to me than staying at this low body weight.
Okay. I like that. So reprioritizing in that regard. How many of the women that would you say who struggle with HA, hypothalamic amenorrhea, they're doing the undernourishment or the overexercising because of some sort of body dysmorphia where they actually, if there's maybe not an accurate idea of their body, do you find that to be often, or is it a lot of times women are honest with themselves? It's like they need to be exercising because it makes them feel better, or they just aren't eating because they don't know what to eat, or they think that they are doing a good job. Like, do you know what I mean? How much of it do you think is almost like that dysfunction? I think I remember you telling me back in the day, like you never wanted to work with people. And I don't know, there was some shift that you had shared with me where someone, I don't remember what it was exactly, but I felt like there was a breakthrough that you had that you shared with me about that. And I just wonder how much of women, it is more of like a mental game. And how much of it is just like a, I don't know, I'm moving more than I'm eating kind of thing. And oh, I'll fix that. You know, like I'll eat more. Or if you tell them all this, they're like, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, you know what I mean?
I think so. It's
that's
hard.
A bad question.
No, it's hard to know because I don't know if I've really ever gotten like so deep where I'm like, what do you think is driving this for you? You know,
like the resistance. Like, do you find a lot of resistance for women, I guess, when we bring this up?
Well, that's tough because I feel like if a woman is that in resistance still, she probably wouldn't come to me. Like she probably wouldn't be seeking out. And so the women that actually seek out help, they're kind of ready.
They're ready,
Even if they don't, you know, like I've usually found like there's a little, it takes a little bit of time. Like usually there's still a little bit of that resistance when they come to me. And so but I understand that because like I've experienced it. Right. So yeah. I kind of know how that works. And so I just kind of take it like one little step at a time. Like, let's just work on one little thing. Like, let's just work on taking your, like, embracing rest a little bit more, you know?
Yeah.
Or let's work on slowly increasing carb intake or just increasing the size of your meals a little bit. Or maybe on this day, like even one thing that I actually do really work on with a lot of women, whether they have HA or not, but if they have that kind of like OCD sort of relationship with exercise, I really have them like every morning when they wake up, get really, really, really honest with yourself about how you feel. Like, do you really have the energy to go and like push yourself today?
Yeah, I love
that. And if you're like, yeah, I feel great, like I'm bursting with energy, then like, okay, go work out. But if you're really radically honest with yourself, like don't lie to yourself, don't override that voice. But if you really are honest and you ask your body like, hey body, how do you feel today? And if your body's like, I'm tired, then and that's kind of like an ongoing process too, of like learning really how to tune into that. That was something that I think helped me a lot over the years, was just like, I think this type of temperament is really good at ignoring their body signals and just pushing through. It's not like no days off mentality, you know? It's kind of like what I was saying earlier, how I used to think the more vegetables, the better. And I think there's also a mindset of like the more exercise, the better. And that's not always the case. Not that like I've said multiple times already, exercise is amazing. I think like we all should do it. I love it. But we don't need to obsess about it. And it's really important. Again, if you want to be an active woman and you want to have healthy hormones, you do have to learn how to like listen to your body when it's asking you to slow down. And that's something that a lot of women like have a lot of guilt around.
Yeah.
They feel like guilty for resting, or like they need permit. That's another thing I've heard a lot, like from my Instagram audience too. A lot of women be like, oh, I feel like I need permission to rest. And I'm sort of like, you don't need permission to rest. You know, you're always allowed to rest. So this is, I think, something that I would work on a lot with that type of person, is just like really learning to embrace slowing down, enjoy slowing down, and not always be needing to like go super hard.
Yeah. Do you find that there's similar patterns like this, almost like a burnout type of pattern in women? Maybe they haven't lost their cycle, so they are still getting their period, but they maybe don't make enough progesterone, you know, mid-lineal progesterone. Can you speak to that?
I think that probably more than anything else, honestly. Like at this point in my practice and like with the women that I work with, I see low progesterone way more than HA.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Why? Why? Because for anyone trying to conceive, not that everyone listening to this is, you know, it's important to have healthy progesterone, even if you're not, which you can speak to, but especially if you're trying to conceive, it's essential. Mm-hmm. And so can you speak to this and why this is so important? Even if you're someone listening being like, well, I do get my period every month, so this doesn't apply to me. That might not be the case, especially if you've been trying and you're not getting pregnant. I literally just checked on the patient today, low progesterone, similar pattern, you know? So can you speak to that?
Yeah. So this is actually kind of like a milder version of HA. It's like if you were to keep on going on that path and it were to get worse and worse and worse, you would eventually get HA. So the term for another way of thinking of low progesterone is luteal phase dysfunction. You probably use that. And that is like kind of a milder sign of a relative energy deficiency. It might not always only be due to that. It could also be like mental, emotional, psychological stress, you know, any kind of stress is going to affect your, how much progesterone, you know, whether you ovulate and how much progesterone you make after ovulation. In this type of population, obviously the energy balance is a huge factor for that. But like if you're like really, really stressed at work, or if you're not sleeping, or if you are, you know, if you've been having a lot of, you know, relationship issues, you know, with a significant other or family, like any kind of stress really can affect it. And so, yeah, so I definitely do see that. But I think that this is like I said, I see this way more than even HA at this point, yeah, is where women are like, oh, well, I do have a period regularly, but then either it becomes an issue because they do want to conceive and they're having, right, it's not happening. Or a lot of women will just get a lot of like PMS types of symptoms, or they're having a short luteal phase. I see that a lot too.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, again, like that, it goes back to like either whatever stressors are going on in your life, whether it's a mental, emotional, psychological type of stress, or if it's something related to your energy balance and how you're feeling, how you're, you know, how you're managing your exercise, what your exercise habits are. And then something I talk a lot about too in my work is just like the importance of recovery, which again, yeah, is like kind of coming back to like knowing when to rest, knowing when to slow down, like knowing there are certain days where like, yeah, it's good to push yourself, but then there, not every day is going to be like that.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to do that every day, especially if you are pushing yourself on a regular basis. You have to balance that out, and you have to have days where your priority is recovering.
Yeah.
So that's going to include like prioritizing getting good sleep, having time to just kind of like, I'm a big fan of telling women like just lounge mm-hmm. around, like, you know?
Yep. I love lounging. It's the best.
Lounge or like doing other things, like not making your whole life be about exercising, like have other hobbies, have other yeah. things that you like to do, prioritize social time, like time with people, being outside, super amazing, like get sun, be in nature. There's so many things that you can do that are like really good for managing. Like not only are they helping with recovery, but they help with managing stress. So they're things that like fill you up and make you feel happy. And those are all things that are so important when it comes to like regulating your stress levels. Like you have to do things that actually make you happy, because that's what makes you feel calmer, you know, and it calms your stress hormones down.
Yeah, I love that. Can you speak a little bit about feminine energy? Because we're kind of going into that realm of reducing stress and different hobbies. Mm-hmm. And I know that's been a part of your story as well, is really connecting yeah. in with your feminine. Can you explain what that even means? Like what is feminine energy and how that also plays a role in this?
Yeah, so I love this topic so much. And like you said, I do feel like this was something that was very, very healing for me in addition to the strength training. It's kind of funny because they're like sort of opposite things. Like,
yeah,
I love strength training and I love feminine energy.
I love that. But that's important to talk about the balance, because I think sometimes yeah. women feel they have to choose. Like I can either go yeah. to the gym and get in shape, or I have to like just wither around in the woods and like do moon ceremonies. And it's like, okay, well, those are two extremes. Like, how do we find this healthy balance? Can you just share that?
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, we all have, you obviously know this, Leah, but we all have both masculine and feminine energies in us. And when we say masculine, we don't necessarily mean like, you know, only men, and feminine doesn't mean only women. It's just an energy, and both men and women carry both of them in them.
Yep.
For a lot of women who feel like their essence is feminine, so like at the core of you, if you feel like you're more feminine than masculine, then you're going to feel your happiest and your healthiest when you're spending most of your time in your feminine, right?
Yeah.
And when you, if you're spending too much time in a more masculine energy, you're not going to feel very good. You're going to start feeling exhausted and depleted and like stressed.
Can you speak from your perspective what you consider more of the feminine, like being, what does it mean to be in the feminine energy versus be in the masculine for someone who doesn't know? Can you like paint a picture?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can help with it too if you like are drawing a blank.
Yeah, I mean, feminine traits are much more like being in the flow, versus masculine is much more like direct and goal oriented and like focused. They're very, yeah, it's structured and more like rigid. They have a clear focus and they're like going after that goal. Whereas feminine is a lot more about like being, right? Mm-hmm. And being present and being in the moment and
creation.
Feminine, yeah, creation. Exactly. Nurturing. Nurturing is a very feminine quality. Being more in the, it's more feeling, whereas masculine energy is more thinking, planning, doing energy.
Yeah.
Feminine. Yeah,
like I feel like we could, let me just give an example of like a day. If you are more masculine essence, you are maybe someone by your nature. Sometimes the only confusing thing is that sometimes people are trying to be another thing that is not to their core. Like maybe you read a book that's like, you need to wake up and write a list and have a schedule, you know? So you're trying to do that thing when maybe that's not inherently who you are. But let's say this is inherently who you are. If someone didn't tell you to do these, you know, you wake up on time, the exact time every single day, you have your list and your schedule, you're very structured, you do the same exact thing, you know, like you have your plan and you have a goal in mind and everything's like on time. And oh, we, you know, we're 1 minute past our due. I have to leave. I have to leave this conversation. I have my next thing to do, even if it's not a meeting, you know, you do your structured walk, you have your exercise every day. Like it's just so structured and oriented. You're very like solving problems and you know, it's quick and to the point versus the woman who wakes up is more feminine. It's like whenever she wakes up, you know, it's like, do I feel like having coffee today? I don't know. I think I might go out into the yard and just like kind of walk around, maybe like look at the flowers. Oh, look at this. Like I hear this like beautiful song. I'm just going to like dance a little bit. I feel like making cookies. Like I'm going to go inside and make cookies now. And like, you know, it's just like, I love to paint. Maybe I'll go paint something. And
well,
you know,
it's in the moment and like,
yes.
Slow.
And neither are good or bad. We need both. They are both important. Those were two extremes that I was trying to paint for people to be like, where am I more? And I feel like our society rewards masculine behavior. So
yeah, for sure.
Even if a woman is more feminine essence in her core, she might have a shell that she wears that's masculine. I feel like that's me. I'm like, but it exhausts you. It's like, no, there are parts of me that are
masculine. Like, and you, it's like, it's so awesome that you have like, that you are in touch with it. I mean, we have to have the masculine energy in us to like be balanced and
get anything done. Yeah, you have to.
Yeah. If we're too much in our feminine, like 100% of the time, we would literally just float around all day. And like,
yeah, it's like being on vacation in Hawaii. Being on vacation in Hawaii versus going to a business meeting in New York. They're just different, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So, what was I going to say? You were saying, I was going to say, so it's so great that you have that masculine energy in you and you've been able to like build all this amazing things, but it's like the structure for your feminine that just wants to create. Like you have all these ideas and you want to be creative, and without your masculine energy, like you wouldn't be able to do anything with that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We need both and they're both important. And so it's not that one is good or bad. Both are really important, but the women that you work with and the women that tend to have these patterns either are more inherently masculine or they are putting on a shell of masculinity because they're someone like me who was loved or rewarded for getting things done, high achieving, you know. So sometimes it can come out of other places and not just like, this is who I am as a kid. Because you can see little kids and know right away if they're more feminine or masculine.
Essence. Oh, for sure.
It's like, it's just in you. It's just innate. Like my daughter is the most feminine essence thing you will ever see in your whole life.
And I think back to like when I was little and I just was like, I would wear like pink glitter skirts and like twirl around to music. Yes. And
yes, it's not because of Disney movies. People are like, we train that into little girls. I'm like, no. You don't. Until
my
you
mom
have kids.
My mom was not that way. Like that was literally just in me.
It is. It's just in you. It's like, it's crazy to observe it in children. And so anyways, like for people listening, try to imagine maybe who you were as a kid or who you are deep down. Or if you like had your day off, like truly, like you were had your day off. There's no like anything. Like what is it that you would want to do? Some people are like, I want to schedule my like week. Other people are like, I want to like just go out into nature and just you know, be among the trees or whatever. So anyways,
that's like most women I talk to, like, they're just like, oh, I wish I could just like go. Yeah. Like go on a hike in nature, like go escape. Relax on a beach. But then it's like, how often are you actually letting yourself have not that you actually have to go and relax on a beach, but like if you're craving relaxing on a beach, you're probably just craving like relaxation, you know? Yeah. Like how often are you just doing things to where you can just, like I said, you can just lounge or like things that just feel good instead of needing to push yourself constantly to be productive and like, you know? And so I think that a lot of it, like this type of pattern in women where they you know, are always wanting to exercise, right? I think that was what you were asking me. Like, if they kind of deal with that, like, that's how they deal with stress. That's like their outlet.
Yes.
And it becomes sort of that vicious cycle that you mentioned. A lot of that is like, that is actually a symptom in my mind of being disconnected from your feminine energy. Because like we were saying, like masculine energy is kind of like doing productivity, versus feminine is more like in her body, how she feels, rather than logical thinking mind. It's like, how does my body feel, and letting that guide me.
It is no secret that most women are not getting adequate protein in their daily diets. Protein is essential for all major body functions, including hormone production to maintain a healthy regular menstrual cycle, and the need for protein only increases during pregnancy, postpartum recovery, and nursing. When it comes to collagen supplements, it can be overwhelming to choose the right one, but let me make it easy for you. The Needed Collagen Powder is my top recommendation for a high-quality, easy-to-mix supplement that supports your body in so many ways. Each serving provides 15 grams of collagen, delivering 8 of the 9 essential amino acids that your body needs. Collagen plays a crucial role in tissue repair and strength, thanks to the key amino acids like glycine and proline. It's important in supporting natural collagen production, which can decline due to hormonal changes in pregnancy. It promotes joint health and comfort during pregnancy, aids the postpartum tissue recovery process, and it supports healthy hair, skin, and nails. The Needed Collagen Powder is grass-fed, sustainably sourced, and rigorously third-party tested for heavy metals and completely tasteless, making it easy to mix into coffee, oatmeal, or smoothies. Head to thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER for 20% off. Again, that is thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER for 20% off.
I often see that this kind of woman is often very disconnected from her feminine energy because she's almost afraid to slow down and rest and really listen to her body. But the thing is, when we're connected to our feminine energy, we're really connected to our bodies, which means we're really connected to our need for rest.
Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, I love that.
The feminine needs rest. Otherwise we get burnt out.
Yep.
So a lot of it is like, it comes back to that embracing of your feminine essence and really reconnecting with your feminine energy. And that is what allows you to like really actually cherish the rest and cherish the slowing down, because you really feel and understand how necessary it is. Like, it feeds you, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we don't thrive when we're stressed all the time and we're like constantly trying to do stuff all the time. We thrive when we have time to rest and nourish ourselves and do things. Like, rest doesn't have to be like, I'm literally just sitting on the couch, like watching TV. That actually could be kind of stressful in a way, you know, like depending on what you're watching. But like, rest can be doing, again, like, it can be like spending time in the sun. It can be talking with a girlfriend. It can be cuddling with an animal or your, you know, baby, or like, it could be like any kind of like physical contact with someone that you love. It's like, there's so many, it can be a hobby. It can be art. It can be music, like things that are just really nourishing for yourself, where it's not necessarily you're going and like you're stressing your body out. And so I really encourage, like, yes, use like exercise, strength training, especially because I'm such a proponent of that for women. And going back to, you know, kind of like we think that strength training and feminine energy are like opposite things. I like to offer a kind of different way of framing it, which I found to be true for me. I actually found that strength training, even though it kind of seems like more of a masculine type of like activity, it actually really strengthened my connection to my feminine energy because of the way strength training shapes your body. Like, I never felt more feminine than when I started gaining muscle, because it like, it gave me more curves. Like, it gave me a booty. It just gave me way more of like an hourglass shape, where it's like, I find that it complements my, like, me being in my feminine so much, because I just feel so much more feminine because of the strength training. But it's also because of, like, you know, I wouldn't have that result if I wasn't nourishing myself and resting at the same time. So it's like, it's not just because of strength training, it's everything else that you're doing outside of that to get the best, like, maximize the results of it.
I love that. Wow. It's so good. Mic drop right there. Oh, this is so awesome. So as like an overarching thing for women, whether you have a period or not, you know, really connecting more with nourishing yourself and connecting with that feminine energy, listening to your body, prioritizing rest. Are there any other things that you would say to a woman to help with her feminine vitality and her hormones and fertility, if that's what she wants?
Yeah, I want to remind every woman listening, you know, this is not all of what we've been saying. It's not only for if women who aren't menstruating or having a cycle. Like, this is all for optimal hormonal health, even if you're having a regular period. Like we were talking about before, low progesterone, luteal phase dysfunction, all of this is really important for just having a healthy cycle overall. So yeah, this is not just like to help you get your period back. This is for having an optimally healthy cycle and hormonal function, being a woman that's full of vitality.
I love that. Oh, so good. I love it so much. Are there any other last things that you want to share with our audience? And if not, can you share how people can find you, learn more from you, work with you, any of the stuff?
Yes. So I'm on Instagram. It's Dr.EllieMichelle, which is spelled Dr.EllieMichelle. And then
love it.
And that's like kind of the platform I'm on the most. My website is DrElliemichelle.com. But on Instagram and the link in the bio, you can find the links to apply to work with me one-on-one. I am accepting new patients right now. And I work with people individually. So you can apply to work with me there if you want individualized support. Also, I run a mentorship. So this is like a small group container, which is 6 weeks, where I basically teach you how to take care of your hormones, your metabolism, strength train, and connect with your feminine energy. So kind of all the things that we touched on today. And I take you through a curriculum that I created that basically it's like everything I want women to know about how to create optimal health and how to create your healthiest body. So you can get on the interest list for that as well at the link in my bio on Instagram.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. Ellie. Thank you for sharing your knowledge and your wisdom with us. It was such a great conversation, and I just love talking to you.
I know. I love talking to you too. I feel like we could talk about this stuff all day.
Yes, we should. And be in our feminine and talk about it. Awesome. All right. Well, have a great, wonderful day.
You too.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Healthy as a Mother podcast. In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and send to a friend who could benefit from this content. We're so excited to share more on becoming and being a mother next time.
And please remember that the ideas and views of this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to serve as a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis or treatment of any illness or disease. Consult with your provider before integrating this information into your own care plan. And remember, a healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.